Good evening, everyone. It's a real joy to be here. I really think whenever we gather together, especially with different churches kind of coming together, there's something godly about that. I think the Spirit of God desires that His people gather together from different churches. So I'm always for anything that is for different churches or different youth groups coming together. Amen. So I think it's really great that you guys are here today. And my heart today is really simple, for us to learn a little bit about what it means to live a life being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think this is such a critical aspect of what it means. Amen. Okay. I think it's such a critical aspect for us, especially in our lives, if we want to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. And we'll see later in, as we look at the Scriptures, when God gave this vision to the early apostles, to the disciples in the book of Acts, one of the keys, right, to accomplish the mission, to do the work, to essentially preach the gospel, it wasn't that they would just gather and have really good committees. It wasn't they would have really great visions, although that's important. It wasn't that they just gather together and make sure they have a really good strategy for world evangelization. We'll see later what God's strategy was. And spoiler alert, it was they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was key in fulfilling their purpose. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to get into the passage today. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for young Jen and this ministry that you've birthed. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be with us and guide us and help us, Lord, to discover truths in your word and help our hearts and our minds to just be so alert and so attentive, Lord, to your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you here like to be ripped off? Anyone here likes being ripped off? Anybody? Great, nobody. Anyone here? Right answer. Anyone here? If you have been ripped off before, ever, anyone been ripped off? Okay, great. Yes. Maybe share a story. What happened? Okay, no story. Okay. Alec, you raise your hand. You have a story being ripped off? That's what happens when you raise your hand from now on. I'll just pick on you. I'm just kidding. Anything? No? I can't remember. Okay. I hunt for bargains, okay? If I buy something, I want to make sure it's the cheapest on Amazon, cheapest online. And if I buy something and I find that it's cheaper elsewhere, I really get upset. Anyone with me in that? Okay, amen, awesome. All right, and the reality is, I believe, in a different kind of way, the enemy wants to rip us off in our Christian life. Okay, now I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a ripped off Christian life. Now what do I mean by that? It means that sometimes for some Christians, all Christianity is, it's just reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Now, I've been going through this discipleship course. That's really important. But that's all some people see. That's all they do. That's the sum of the Christian life, is to be this really smart person that can quote Scripture. Okay? For others, all their Christian life is just operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then experiencing God and then, you know, getting like, I don't know what you call it, but you know, getting like Holy Spirit fuzzies and you just feel so good, you know? And that's the sum of the Christian life. They go from experience to experience, and that's it. Okay? And I think what the enemy wants to do, he wants to rip you off. He wants to sell you if the life that there is to be a Christian was like this much, he wants to just sell you this much, this ripped off version, and just to say that's all there is to what it means to being a Christian. Okay, and my heart today is very simple. I just want to look at some Bible passage. I'm going to throw a lot at you. Okay, so be alert. I'm really big on just seeing what the Bible says about all this stuff. So I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures at us, and I want us to kind of open our hearts and our minds to see, whoa, God says that, God does that. And my heart behind it is that our heart and our vision of who God is will be stretched. Not who I am, not what I can do, but rather who God is, how great He is, and what He has made available to us. That would be kind of like, oh, wow, based upon what God says. Amen? Because it's my heart that we don't get, like, I don't want to live a short, that's the word I was thinking about, a short-changed Christian life. So don't get short-changed. Don't just think, oh, that's all there is to what it means to be a Christian. That's all that what it is. I can quote Bible all day, and I'll just sit in my little Bible study and just give each other really good theological stuff all day. You know, that's great, and all that's wonderful. There's just so much more in Christ Jesus that I want us to discover. Okay, so living the Spirit-filled life. And so like I was saying earlier, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, a key verse in the book of Acts. It's almost like this verse that paints the picture of what will happen for the rest of the book of Acts. And this is what Jesus says to the disciples. Okay, so Jesus has already died and has already been resurrected now. Okay, Jesus has finished the work of the cross. Now, what does he say to the disciples? Okay, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. Okay, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. My witnesses, you can say my witnesses. Okay, in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, what you'll see in the rest of the book of Acts, these guys, the 120 in the upper room, they preach the gospel from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and eventually to Australia and to Singapore and to the ends of the earth. That's the idea. Okay, and again, my point is what? What is crucial in, if our vision here is to fulfill our purpose, what is crucial in fulfilling the purpose of God? Is it that I could be a great visionary? Don't get me wrong, I'm all for vision, but it doesn't say vision. Is it that I could be a great communicator? I need to be a great communicator. I'm all for communication, but it doesn't say you will receive power to be great communicators. Okay? It doesn't say that. What's key for the gospel to be spread to the ends of the earth, for the disciples to be witnesses, is you'll receive power from on high. Essentially, this is the passage about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then this is what Jesus says. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the reality of this happening. So it says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Okay, I'm not going to go into, that's really powerful, that statement, okay? Anyways, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and their divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the idea here is then the Holy Spirit has now filled the disciples. Okay, the Holy Spirit has filled the disciples. That's the key emphasis here. Now, in this case, they spoke in other tongues and there were witnesses and they spoke other languages. Why? Because the purpose of this filling of the Holy Spirit wasn't so they could look good. It wasn't so, oh, look at me. Oh, look, I'm speaking Arabic now. I'm speaking Egyptian now. It wasn't that. It's that they could ultimately testify and speak and talk about who God is and what he is doing to all the other nations. The whole idea of the filling of the Holy Spirit here and for them to be witnesses was never about them, but it was to testify about who God is and what God was doing. Okay, so that's the idea here when the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the apostles. And I personally believe the same Holy Spirit that fills the apostles fills our lives today as well. So from that point onwards, what actually happens? What kind of things happen in the life of the apostles? Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone? What do you think happens from here onwards? Okay, don't worry. I'll just give you the answer, okay? All right, so my point is, again, this is the big idea. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, from that point onwards, it says they were empowered to be my witnesses, to testify and speak about who Jesus is. And so from this point, we see healing. Okay, all these passages, they started going around praying for healing and it happened. Now, I don't know about you, if you've seen healing and stuff, but I don't know. Like, I'm just saying it happened in the book of Acts, okay? It happened in the book of Acts and that was almost like the reality. What else do you see happen? You see people being raised from the dead, okay? That was crazy, okay? They're going around raising, okay, anyone seen it? I've never seen a dead person raised. I've heard stories, but I've never, imagine going to a funeral and be like, don't worry, I'm going to pray. That person comes back to life. Look, I don't know how they did it, but they prayed and people came back to life. Okay, like, Let's not take that for granted. It's a big deal, okay? They cast out demons, okay? They prayed and they cast out demons. There were angelic visitations. There were other miracles, right? A lot of stuff, other miracles happened, but fundamentally, they preached the gospel. So that's kind of the life of what the apostles were like when they operated in the early church. And there was a time in my Christian life where I didn't see any of the first one, two, three, four, five things at all, okay? Growing up in church, I never saw any of that stuff. I never saw any healing. I never saw anyone get raised. I kind of saw some demon stuff at times. Never had any angelic visitations. You might, great. I never saw like other kinds of miracles that happened. I was just all about preaching the gospel, okay? But the reality was, in the early church, after they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, you see this a balance between operating in the gifts and the empowerment with the miracles and all that stuff for the purpose of preaching the gospel. And the reality is for us, if you want to know our purpose in life, I can already tell you what your purpose fundamentally should be about. All of us are called to preach the gospel. And that needs to be central in whatever our life purpose is. Okay, and in this case, when you look at the book of Acts, you see them being empowered by the Holy Spirit and they're operating in healing and raising the dead, casting out demons, and all these things, these signs and wonders, were a way to authenticate and testify that the word that was spoken, the gospel that was preached, was real. Amen? Okay, you guys still awake tonight or half asleep? Okay. I remember a time I was on a date with my now wife, and I just went for a really weird date. We went to go look at a place in Singapore, okay? And I wasn't going to buy the place. I was looking at the place for somebody else. I just said to her, "Hey, my friends are moving to Singapore. They need someone to check out an apartment. Do you want to come with me?" It's not a very don't tip for guys. Don't do that, okay? Anyway, she's like, "Sure, no worries." I was like, "Great." And then at the time, I was like, "Hey, look, I dare you to pray for the real estate agent." And she was like, "Okay, I'll have a try." I'm like, "I'm going to have a try as well." I was like, "I'm going to pray for the real estate. I'm going to have a go praying for the real estate." At that time, I was praying for everybody I saw, okay? I just wanted to try this stuff because I read about this stuff in the book of Acts. Anyway, so my wife kind of, my now wife, who's, you know, I was on the date with, she says to the real estate agent lady, "Hey, can I pray a prayer of blessing over you?" And the real estate auntie, she was like one of those old Singaporean aunties. Anyone Singaporean here? Great. Okay, praise God. Good on you. You know, like one of those really Singaporean, you know, say, "What? Ah, what you want? Ah?" You know, anyway, so I'm not Singaporean. I can't do the accent. And she's like, No need. And I was like, "Okay." And then I said to her, "Hey, excuse me." I said to her, "Do you have any pain in your body?" She looked at me like, "What is wrong with this guy?" I was like, I don't know. Do you have any pain in your body?" She goes, Pain. I got pain everywhere. I pain here, pain there, everywhere. Pain, got pain." And I was like, okay. And then I said to her, "I know this sounds so weird and so strange, but can I like pray for you?" I'm just like, and she looked at me as if I was some kind of magician, you know, like. And I was like, "No, seriously, can I just try? I just try. I said, sometimes I pray and nothing happens. Sometimes something will happen. Can I just have a try?" I said, "You have nothing to lose. If I pray for you and nothing happens, you'll still be in pain, okay? Like, you know, but if I pray and something happens, then something happens. Like, right now you're in pain. Look, you either can move up. You're not going to go down, okay? You're not going to get worse. You've got nothing to lose." And she goes, "Fine." I said, "What can I pray for?" She goes, "Oh, my elbow up, pain, oh, my elbow." I said, okay, I'll try. So I just thought, you know, because she wasn't so open to the gospel, I just thought, okay, I pray for your elbow. And I did it the way that the disciples did. I just put my hand on her elbow, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing power." And I said, "In the name of Jesus, elbow, be healed." And then I'm like, "Anything? Like, if your pain was a 10, what is it now?" She goes, "Oh, nothing. Okay, can I try again?" I said, "Okay, I'm going to try again." And I did it the second time, and then her face changed. She was like, "What's going on?" And then I was like, "I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just trying, you know. I'm not a professional or anything." She goes, wow, I got static, man. Like, is this, she's like, it's like got electricity running through her elbow. And I was like, huh? I was more shocked than she was. And I said, does it still hurt, like your elbow? Is it still in pain? And she was like, it's like, oh, it's gone from a, if it was a 10, it's gone down to a 2. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I said, please don't lie to me. Like, don't just try to make me feel good. Don't try to, like, just try to make me feel good. You know? And she goes, why would I lie to you? I'm like, good. And then she was like, and she was shocked. And then she goes, I think it's just my emotions. I said, your emotions? What about your other elbow? Do you feel static in the other one? She goes, no, I don't feel static in the other one. Anyways, the point was this. Then I said, Jesus loves you. He's the way. He's the only way to heaven. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we need to repent of our sins. And this is God's way of saying he wants you to believe in him. Now, she didn't become a Christian. But that was one of those rare moments I actually experienced maybe like a 2% of what you see on screen, if that makes sense. Okay? So moving on. This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:5. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know, what I've seen sometimes is some people just, what you see in the life of the Apostle Paul, it's like, I've taught you I've preached the word, but it's come with power and with full conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I think we need that kind of balance, especially in that kind of spirit-filled life. And you see a picture of that in Paul. I'll give you another verse to convince you. My message and my preaching, is what Paul says, were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. Demonstration and proclamation. The word of God is preached, and the works of God were demonstrated. This guy I really respect, his name is John Wimber, he came up with this term called, oh, do I have it here? Oh, no, not yet. Okay, demonstration and proclamation. The demonstration of the power of God and the proclamation of his word. And that's been something I've been thinking about more and more of late. And I pray that for us as we live in a spirit-filled life, that it's not all about just, that there is an aspect of a balance between, you know, the demonstration of the power of God and the proclamation of faithful, godly, biblical doctrine. Okay? And you see it in those passages there. So, right now we're going to pause, have a think. Okay, I don't know where you guys are at. Okay? Now, when I show you all these stories and all these things, now, I don't know what you think. For some of us, we might actually think it's fiction. Okay, when you read the book of Acts, I don't know, maybe close your eyes. I don't want to shame anybody. Close your eyes for a second. If you're reading the book of Acts and then you read like demon stuff and then people getting raised from the dead and then, you know, like angelic visitation, some of us might read it and think, that's actually really hard to believe. I don't think that's real. It's okay. No shame. Anyone here thinks it's kind of like fiction? Just raise your hand. I just want to see. It's okay. All right. Anyone? Okay, good, good, good. That's fine. Thank you. All right, and you know, that's fine. You know, we read that, we think, what? You know, I don't know if this is fully true. Like, how can you actually believe that this is true? And my encouragement is this. Sometimes, for those of you in that category of this might be kind of fiction, it doesn't align with my scientific worldview. My encouragement in this category is, to understand that we have a spiritual worldview, that there are angels, there are demons, and in that spiritual realm, things can interact. Okay? We can talk about that more, but that's the idea. Okay, second group of people, all right? Maybe you're reading through the book of Acts, and you're thinking, this is a bit like a museum. You know, these are all the heroes of the past. These are like the Pauls and the Peters and the Johns and the Jameses, etc. And, you know, they're so far away from me. Like, it's like going, if I read the book of Acts, it's like a museum. It's like, oh yeah, these guys did some great things, but that's just not for me. Too far away for me. I could never relate or do any of the stuff that they do with all eyes closed. Okay, I want to. Next one. If you feel like this is a bit like a museum, you can lift your hand more than once, by the way. If you feel like it's a bit of a museum, reading the book of Acts and kind of what I shared, raise your hand. Anyone think it's like a museum? Great. We've got some museums here. Great. Good. Thank you. Put your hand down. Great. Thank you. So if some of us, we read the book of Acts like a museum. Okay, fair enough. It's okay, it's not wrong, but I used to feel that way. I read the book of Acts and I'm like, oh man, those guys were first century Christians, we're just different today, okay? For others, it's like a textbook, right? Like, I remember I was preaching the book of Acts at my church and we were exegeting the different words and we were understanding the Greek and the meaning and the theological direction and all that stuff. And it just became like a textbook, you know? It's like driving a car, you know? Like, you've studied the L-plate manual. Anyone getting their L-plates at the moment? No one's getting their L-plates, really. I'm sure somebody is. Okay, great. It's like all you do for your L-plates, you just study the manual, but you never get in the car. Okay? All you want to do, you've memorized the L-plate manual. You know the driving manual so well, okay? But you never actually sit in a car. And how many of you know, if you want to learn to drive, you've got to sit in the car, yeah? Okay, now close, all eyes closed. If you kind of relate to reading the Bible in the book of Acts, a little bit like a textbook, raise your hand. Any textbooks here? Come on, I'm sure there's some textbooks. Great. Okay, a lot of textbooks. Wonderful. Close your eyes. Okay, great. So, I understand all these positions, and sometimes we approach the book of Acts this way. And my encouragement is, if you're fiction, we can talk later and stuff. There's so much more to say. For those in the museum, I have a verse I want to show you later. For the textbooks, my encouragement is this. The Christian life is not just meant to be like, if you're getting your license, all you did was read the driving manual. Wouldn't that be boring? You would never learn to drive. And I felt that way when I was in a room reading the book of Acts and teaching it. I got so frustrated. I said on stage to people, I can exegete this, I can teach this, I can preach this, but sometimes I don't live it, and it really frustrated me. And I pray that you would also have that kind of frustration. Oh man, if this is real, if God says it's legit, then, and He still is the same God, then Lord, I want to experience that as well. Okay? Moving on. Okay, so my heart is this, that this would, reading the book of Acts, be like a pathway. That these guys have set an example for us to follow. A practical example for us to follow. Now, obviously, specifically speaking, we are not the 12 apostles. Okay, I'm not saying go around saying, hi, my name is Apostle so-and-so. I'm not saying that. Okay, don't do that. That's going to be a bit weird. But what I am saying is this. The same Holy Spirit that filled the life of the apostles, the same Holy Spirit that worked and did great and mighty things in the life of the early church, He's the same God today. It's not like over the centuries He just disappeared. He changed. No, He didn't change. Same God. He hasn't changed, man. Like, He's still Yahweh. Still the same Holy Spirit that filled the life of the 120 in the upper room is the same Holy Spirit that fills us today. And for me, my heart is, God, if they live this way, I don't want to live a short-changed Christian life. And my prayer is, I don't want you to live a short-changed Christian life either. Okay? So moving on. So sometimes I ask this question, experience or scripture? Now, some of us have had bad experiences, okay? I'm not going to get you to raise your hands, but sometimes especially for me, one reason I always shied away from all the miracle stuff because I saw some bad examples. I saw some bad theology, and then I just stayed away. Sometimes it's no experience. Because I've had no experience with any of this kind of stuff, I made up in my mind a way to rationalize why it doesn't happen in my life. I said, well, it happens in the early church. It doesn't happen today. I couldn't really justify it biblically, but that's how I would think and feel. But my point is at the end of the day, whether we've had a bad experience, fair enough, or no experience, what fundamentally overrides and rules our Christian life is not bad experience, no experience, but it's actually the Scripture and the Word of God. So I got to a point where I was like, God, I've got no experience in this stuff. In fact, I've actually probably had some negative experience. I actually didn't like a lot of the stuff that I saw when it came to these things. But it was through the study of the Word of God, through the study of the Scripture, that I just couldn't deny it anymore. I was like, actually, wait. I can't let my no experience and bad experience, even if you had good experience, which is wonderful, I can't let that define how I see God or the Christian life and all that kind of stuff. So my point is, I pray that it would be scripture that would override all that stuff. Okay? Amen? Okay, continue on. Okay, let's keep going. All right, so there's that slide. That slide was meant to come earlier, but it came there. It's okay. So the balance between the proclamation and the demonstration of power. The proclamation of the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel and the demonstration of power. That's the way Jesus evangelized. That's the way the early apostles evangelized, and that's how they operated. And yeah, and my prayer is that the word of God and the works of God. The word of God and the works of God. It's this kind of like this holistic picture of what I see in the scripture. So often we see, I don't know about you, but you see a bit of a dichotomy. All the people who are really great theologians, right, aren't really into the whole signs and wonders stuff. And sometimes all the people who are really into the signs and wonders, I'm really generalizing here, forgive me, I'm generalizing, okay? But I'm stereotyping, forgive me, but a lot of the people who are the signs and wonders stuff, the theology is not great, okay? But you see, the Apostle Paul wasn't like that. The Apostle Paul is the guy that wrote the book of Romans. He wrote Ephesians, he wrote Philippians, pretty much half the New Testament. And yet at the same time, he's also the guy that says, I speak in tongues more than anybody. He's the guy that the book of Acts says unusual miracles happened at the hand of the Apostle Paul, that even those who touched his handkerchief were healed. So there isn't this dichotomy. There's not meant to be a dichotomy. It's a false dichotomy between people who really know the Bible and being shut off to the miracle stuff, and people who are really into the miracles not being great theologians. Actually, the Apostle Paul was both, okay? So that was my point. And I pray that would be a picture for us as we continue. Forgive me if I've offended anybody. You know, I'm stereotyping and generalizing, okay? Moving on. So my question is, same God of the Old Testament, same God in the New Testament, same God in the early church is the same God in 2023 in Young Gen. What kind of God is this? Do we believe in the God of the Bible or not? I'm sure all of us are like, yes, I believe in God. Amen, you believe in God? Yes, you believe, great, wonderful. But do we really believe or not? Let me give you some examples of what he's like, okay? So Joshua, he really believed. He had the guts. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in prayer meetings, we like to pray a lot of safe prayers. God, keep us all safe. Keep everyone safe. Make sure everything runs well. Amen. Okay, now nothing wrong with safe prayers. Please pray for safety if you're in a dangerous country, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But how many of us would have the guts? I definitely do not have the guts to do what Joshua did. He was fighting a war. In the middle of the war, God didn't even tell him to do this. He just looked at the sun and said, "Sun, stand still." And it actually happened. Does it make sense? Now, application is not you go out and say, "Moon, stand still. Let's see if it works." Okay, that's not the application here. The point is this, that Joshua believed in such a God, such a great God, that in the midst of this battle, in the middle of this war that he was fighting, that he was daring and bold enough to even say something as wild as "sun, stand still." Okay? Now, I want to preface this. It doesn't mean we go around just doing this for fun, like a party trick. Oh, chair, move, you know. Oh, this, no, I'm not saying. You're doing it now to kind of like prove something and try to, that's not the point here, okay? Please don't go, oh, what are we going to do after today's message? Oh, Paul told us to go around telling trees and stuff to move just for the fun of it. No. This was a critical moment in the history of Israel. But my point is, Joshua was bold enough in this critical moment of battle. He trusted God enough and he was daring enough to say, "Sun, stand still." Okay? And also, I want you to know that Joshua had a faith and an intimacy with God as well. He knew the will of God, okay? Doesn't mean you go around like, "Oh, yeah, I've got the power to move stuff. Telekinesis, watch me." No, that's not it at all, okay? Please don't do that, all right? But he was exactly, absolutely in the will of God. And he said and proclaimed, and I don't know what he was doing, praying. and it aligned to the will of God, and it happened. Did Joshua move the sun? The answer is no, okay? No, Joshua didn't do it. Joshua can't do this stuff. God did it. But the point is, Joshua was willing enough to ask, okay? Same God. Same God, Elijah raising the dead, right? Elijah lies on this guy, and then this dead person comes to life. Same God who raises people from the dead, okay? Elijah and the 400 prophets of Baal, Elijah calls down fire from heaven. Same God who sent fire from heaven, same God today. Elijah prayed for rain, and it actually happened, okay? Rain, don't, you know, stop. Rain, start. And again, it was not a party trick, okay? The rain stopping and starting was all about the punishment or God's wrath upon Israel because of King Ahab. He was very wicked. It was a demonstration of God's wrath and judgment. But God used Elijah to pray. Now, I want to make this very clear. Our faith, our Christian life, our spiritual maturity never, ever, ever rests upon miracles and signs and wonders. Did you guys get that? Just because God doesn't love you because today I did 5 miracles. How many have you done? 0. Oh, no. I did 5. Okay, I'm going to post it everywhere on Instagram. Let you know I've got 5 miracles. God loves me 5 times more than he loves you. No, that's not it. Okay, not it. It's not the mark of your maturity. It's not the mark of how much God loves you. No, the mark of God loving you is when he sent his son Jesus to die for you. The foundation of your faith is never signs and wonders. You cannot rest a church. You cannot rest your theology all on miracles. Your church would go weird. It would lose its way. Okay, do not focus on it. The foundation of your faith is Christ Jesus, Christ crucified, his death and resurrection. That's the foundation, okay? My point in sharing this stuff is rather to say, don't live a ripped off life. The same God who does this is the same God who can do stuff today. That's all I'm saying. I want us to see that. It's not, oh, look what I can do. Oh, look at my little powers. You know my powers, I can heal people now. You know, have you seen my powers? I've been healing people. It's not your powers, man. You can't heal anybody. There's nothing in me that could heal anyone or anything. But it's God who does the work according to his will, okay? But with that being said, God chooses to do this kind of stuff, okay? I just want to make sure it's really well positioned. Okay? Cool. Okay. Coming to an end soon. Okay, so I want to share, if someone told you this, if I said to you, hey, yo, young Jen, I have something. If I said to you, hey, can I tell you something? Elijah was a man just like us, with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently and it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. If I said to you, hey, Joel, Elijah was a man just like you. That's what he did. And he can. You're just the same as him, right? How would you feel? I'm asking the wrong guy. Okay, he said, yeah, of course. Okay, great. But how would you guys feel if I told you that? Mick? Pretty good. Okay, great, great. Something else I was looking for. But anyway, okay, great, good. But I don't know about you. When I read that initially, I'm like, no way. You know what I mean? Are you sure? Elijah was a man just like us? No way he was just like us. I mean, he's like a special kind of human being. He was a special Christian. I'm not a special. I'm not. You know, and the point is that this, where this comes from is actually James 5:17. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, says. He says, Elijah was a man just like us. So for some of us who are the museumers, remember that you raised your hand because you think reading the Bible is like a museum. This one is saying, actually, it's not like a museum because the scripture is actually saying, well, Elijah prayed and this stuff happened, and so likewise for you. You can pray fervently and you don't know what God might do in response to your prayer. You don't know. And the idea here, the context of this, is James trying to say, I want you to pray fervently. I want to inspire you to pray fervently. Pray believing like this can happen. Pray believing like this. Pray believing like, you know, like this stuff is real and this can happen. Like I took a risk praying for the person who had like the arm. And I tried a few other risks as well. I just gave it a shot, right? And it actually happened. Other times I've prayed, nothing happened. Can I tell you that? I pray and nothing happened, okay? sometimes it happened and it was like extraordinary, like, whoa. Other times nothing happened. But the point is, I hope that we can take hold of not living a short-changed Christian life. And so part of this being filled with the Holy Spirit is key to not living this short-changed Christian life. And in closing, I've got two more things and I'm closing, okay? So 2 Timothy 1:6-7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." This is what the Spirit of God does. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's not all about, oh, look at my crazy miracles and stuff. It's you operate in love, you operate in power, and you operate in self-discipline or a sound mind. Your sound mind, okay? So finally, in closing, I just want to quote a guy called Andrew Murray. You know, when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the truth is actually really divided, what people think about it. I'm not going to go into that debate, but this is probably the best definition I found, and I want to share it with you. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit for you? What does it mean for you? Do you just ask? Do you just always say, oh God, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. Oh, today I'm 10%, tomorrow I'm 20%, later I'm 30%. Is that how it works? Answer's no, okay? And the idea is, this is what Andrew Murray says, being filled with the Holy Spirit is simply this, having my whole nature yielded to His power. When my whole soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit, God Himself will fill it. And the idea here is not that, oh God, today I'm 10%, tomorrow I'm 30%, later on I'm 60% because I went to church, but now after watching Korean drama, you know, I'm 30%, you know, after watching Love is Blind, I'm at 10%, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, it doesn't work that way. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to throw all those references at you, but, you know, my point is this, it's about surrender. Yieldedness is surrender. It means this, God, nothing I won't hold back. God, my life is yours. The disciples, they were yielded to Christ. God, not my will, but your will be done. That was Jesus being yielded to the Father's will. So what does it mean? At the heart of it, you know, there's a lot of, well, my prayer is this, that we capture this. More than all the really amazing stuff that God do, the amazing stuff that God does, the power, the miracles, the signs, and all that stuff, at the heart of it, my prayer is simply this, living a Spirit-filled life is living a surrendered life. Living a Spirit-filled life is living a surrendered life. Sometimes I pray, nothing happens. Praise the Lord. You know, Daniel and his friends, they were being cast into the, before they were being cast into the fire because they didn't want to worship the idol. We believe God will save us, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to worship this idol. Yield it to God's will. Paul, going into Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, a lot of hardships are coming your way. Yield it to the will of God. Okay, God, I know a lot of hardships are coming my way as I go to Jerusalem. I'm still going forward. And so for me, it's very simple for us today. My prayer is that we will not live a short-changed Christian life. And I hope I've painted a picture of what is available in Christ. And there are other miracles that I didn't share with you guys, other stuff that I've seen happen, and I'm just really amazed, which is wonderful, and God can use you to do it. Seriously, just be willing to pray for the first bunch of people I pray for, nothing happened, but just be willing to pray for someone, and you never know what God could do. I want you to start believing this is the kind of God we worship. I want you to have a bigger vision of who God is, and not just who God is, but what He has made available to those in Christ Jesus. Jesus has given us spiritual authority over the darkness. Okay, so fundamentally in all of that, what does it mean then to live a Spirit-filled life? I love what Andrew Murray says. It's the whole soul yielded to the Holy Spirit. Meaning, God, there's nothing I'll hold back from you. It's not, God, I'll give you my Mondays and Tuesdays, but not the rest of the week. God, you're okay with some parts of my phone, but not all of it. You're okay with some things I watch, but not all of it. I'll keep this for myself, God. It's a sense of saying, God, everything is yours. Everything is yours. Okay? So why don't we stand to our feet? Let me pray for us, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that you're wonderful and mighty and great and holy. We just ask and pray, Lord, that by your grace and by your power, that we would get a greater vision of who you are. That all the more, Lord, that our hearts would just be so amazed at you, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we worship you and honor you and praise you, Lord, I pray that we would meet you and encounter you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we be still before the Lord right now? Don't be distracted. Just be still before the Lord and just come before him and ask him to speak to you. And we'll just, as the music plays, we'll just wait upon God and just ask him to speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time and all these wonderful people who are here, Lord. And yeah, Lord, it is so true that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, God. But Father, I pray, God, we just know that we can't do this without the empowerment of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we just ask and pray, Lord, that your Spirit would indeed awaken us. I believe when your Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it makes us come alive from the inside out. It breathes life to the dead bones that we might feel on the inside. And with all eyes closed, if that's you, if, you know, I'm talking about this living a spirit-filled life, maybe for you of late, your spiritual life has felt a little bit more like dry bones. You felt like, oh, spiritually not so awakened and not so like, wow, oh, God is awesome. And just so awake, but maybe on the inside, the spiritual life feels a little bit like, oh, just a bit dry, and for some, it might even feel like dry bones. But the invitation is this, but if you're here tonight and you say, God, you know, I feel like dry bones, but where your spirit breathes, you breathe life. Where your spirit breathes, where your Holy Spirit is, you bring life. And if that's you with all eyes closed, could you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Anyone here? Just raise your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? I feel like a bit dead, but anyone else? Raise your hand. I want to see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? Raise your hand so I can see. Anyone else? See. Raise them high so I can see. Yeah. Anyone else? Others? Anyone else? Father, I thank you, Lord, and I just pray that you breathe life right now in the name of Jesus. God, I believe that it is your agenda to breathe life into the life of every single person here. God Almighty, I ask and pray, Lord, with all the things that are in the way, all the things that are involved in life, Lord, I ask and pray, God, that there would be spiritual life in the name of Jesus. And that you would do something so wonderful and so deep in the hearts of people here in this room, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll just respond with the song. We're just singing Strip Me Back.
Strip me back of all my pride, my possessions. till all I want and all I seek is your presence.
Sing that one more time. Sing Strip Me Back.
Strip me back of all my pride, my possession. Till all I want and all I seek is your presence. Awaken me. Fire and a zeal. Fire full of love. Heaven open now.
Hallelujah. We sing, come and fill.
So come and fill this place with your mercy, with your grace, Holy Spirit. With power and with love, all consuming fire, come, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Sing it again, strip me back.
To strip me back. Oh, my pride, my possession. Till all I want and all I see is your presence. Awaken me. Fire and a zeal, a fire full of love, heaven open now. Oh, so come and fill this place with your mercy, with your grace, Holy Spirit. With power and with love, all consuming fire, come, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come, oh, come and fill this place with your mercy, with your grace, Holy Spirit. With power and with love, all consuming fire, come, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
You know, we've talked about not living a short-changed Christian life. And for me, it started with that desire to say, God, I don't want to live that short-changed Christian life. And I'm going to open up the altars in a minute as we worship. I want you to come forward. If that's you and you're like, you know, Paul, I've just seen a bits and pieces of that kind of stuff in the book of Acts in my life, and my prayer is that this is only the beginning. I've only just had a small taste. And my prayer is, God, I've only just started, but there is so much more in the things of God. So much more of His love, His grace, His anointing, His power, His word. There's so much more that I've yet to fully know. And if that's your prayer and your heart today, and we'll get some of the leaders to help me, for people who come up to pray, to say, you know, I don't want to live a short-changed Christian life, can come forward now. So as we worship, if that's you, just come forward, and I would like to pray for you. Okay, I would pray for you, and some of the other pastors here from the other churches, they'll be here to pray for you as well. So So as we sing, if that's you, come forward and we're going to pray for you. If you feel that nudge in your heart, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. If it's really God, I don't want to live that shortchanged Christian life. And I want to experience, not just hear about it, but I want to experience. I want to actually experience it for myself. Okay, and I know sometimes it's really awkward and what will people think of me? Or don't worry about that. Sometimes, you know, it took a huge risk for me to pray for that person, you know, that auntie, and then I remember praying for someone on the bus after that, and it was really weird and awkward, but it was fundamentally worth it. Okay, so as we sing, it's okay if you feel a burden in your heart to come forward to be prayed for. I'd love to pray for you. If not, it's okay as we continue to worship.
God, we thank you, God, that we can come here before you, Lord, this place, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to hear from your word, God. Lord, we understand, God, that life as a Christian, God, is more than just believing in you, more than just coming to church, more than just singing songs, more than just reading your word. God, we pray, God, that we'll live a life empowered, God, by your Holy Spirit, the Lord. God, I pray, oh God, for everyone that's standing here, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we'll live a life, oh God. Not a simple life, oh God, but live a life, oh God, that you have called us to live, oh Lord. Live a life, oh God, that you have called us, oh God. Each one of us, oh God, for a purpose, oh God. And you've called us for a purpose, oh God, to be empowered by you, oh God. And I pray, oh God, for your Holy Spirit, oh God, to empower us, oh God, that we will live a life according to what you have lined up for us, oh Lord. God, I pray, God, for every heart in this place. Lord, that you have spoken to some of us today, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that you work your work within our lives, oh God. Lord, you work our hearts, oh God. That we learn to live a life of total surrender to you, oh God. Lord, that living a life without your Holy Spirit, oh God, Lord, is dry. And I pray, oh God, that you move in our hearts. I pray, oh God, that we'll desire you, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we'll long for you, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we'll leave this place, oh God, knowing, oh God, that you have touched us, oh Lord. God, speak to us today, oh Lord. Speak to us today, oh God. Lord, that we not come here, oh Lord, and leave this place the same. God, I pray, God, that you speak to us. Speak to our hearts, God. Speak to our minds, God. Speak to our innermost beings, oh Lord. Lord, we want to receive from you, oh Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that we'll just open our hearts towards you, oh Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, oh God, move in our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit, oh God, speak to us, oh Lord. God, because we want to live a life that you have called us to live, oh Lord. Not for ourselves, but for you, oh Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, each one of us here, oh Lord, will open up ourselves towards you. Speak to us, oh God. Lord, I commit each and every one of us into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.